All right, Mike, you want to kick us off?
Sure, I can do that. So having some trouble with FreedomSoft and my VA, and I'm not sure what happened between the first batches that were done, and I got another couple VAs hired the other day. And when they started entering in the data in the fields, so I'm not sure how, you know, because you're not having experience with it. So when the lead comes in from the bird dog, it automatically populates his email address or their email address in the lower section of the leads category where you actually start entering in all the leads information.
It'll be listed and then, as the contact. The
exactly.
Source.
And it it auto-populates that with their email.
Correct.
I don't know if that's normal. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, because that's where when it comes in that way, that's where the lead is coming from.
Okay.
So what you want to do is, here's the thing about that. When you go to add the real primary contact or the owner of record, make sure you add a new contact, and then you click the little star next to the new one. Don't edit the existing.
Okay.
If you have 100 leads in from a bird dog all at the same email, and you go into one of the leads and edit that email address, it'll change it for all 100 because they all came from the exact same source.
So I guess I never got that on a memo, and you're just telling me why. So so you go in and you have to add another contact.
Add a new contact. Put in the name, email, whatever you have, phone number, save it. And then there's a little star over next to that contact, and whichever one has the little blue star by it, which you can select, that'll be the primary, and it'll display their information at the top of that lead record.
Okay. So was that somewhere in one of the things that I missed, or what happened there?
I think it's in there somewhere, but although I couldn't tell you exactly where.
That's a detail I didn't ever, that's the first I've heard of it. So the only reason why I knew the data was going into that area is because the first VA had experience in FreedomSoft and knew to put it there. I didn't know how to tell him to put it there.
Knew to put what there?
Put
the new
owner
contact
of record, the new contact information there. So he was able to do that without my supervision. Now I'm trying to get other people to do the same thing that – say they have FreedomSoft experience, and it looks like they have FreedomSoft experience, but it's, you know, obviously everybody is going to set things up differently. So every VA that does an account for a different person in FreedomSoft is going to see something different in that area.
Right, right.
So I, you know, I'm trying to get myself caught up to what the process is. So now I know which. So I had a VA go through, and this is what happened. He went through and did the test lead of 30, batch of 30, and okay. As he was doing that, putting it where I thought what we just said, and he was putting it in that, changing that original owner, that original field that came in, so it was changing it for every lead that came in. So it went in
and here's the
screwed
thing.
Up
your
all
VA,
my records.
Your VA doesn't need to be doing that step because your owner of record is likely the primary contact, but it may not. So, like we were talking to a gal, the owner of record is a lady that's in her mid-80s, and she said, I'll talk to you about selling the house, but you have to talk to my daughter. So her daughter's the primary contact, but she is not the owner of record. So your VA, they don't need to be messing around with primary contacts. Salespeople, after they get on the phone, they can do some of that and say, yeah, this is the person that we want to talk to. But all the VA needs to do is research that name, whether it's an individual or a corporate name, save the phone numbers, and then save the leads.
Save them in that field, though, correct?
No. I just, the way the training video is that you all have access to tells your VA to just save them in the notes.
Okay.
Or
so
I created a little section that says skip trace phone numbers, skip traced phone numbers for the owner, and then I have a custom field for heirs' phone numbers.
So
they
are
not.
They
are not putting them in as primary contact. Not my.
So I guess that was my probably where I probably got confused because this original VA, somebody else must have had him doing that.
Gotcha.
So I assumed he knew more about it than I did, and I just didn't get in the way of it. Just let him do what he
gotcha.
Was doing.
Here's the thing. It can work. They have to add a new contact, right? You don't want them to save the existing.
Yeah.
And then what happens is now for your primary contact, let's say they find 10 numbers, you're going to have 10 phone numbers tied to the primary contact when only one of those is going to be the number you contact them with. So
yeah.
Yep. The way I have it done is VA just saves the numbers to notes. Sales team starts calling them. They say, okay, this is the number that works. Now we add the primary contact. Here's the person. Either, yes, it's the owner of record or it's somebody else, whatever. And then this is the best number to reach them and then save it.
And I'll tell you, that was my natural process, just the way you explained it.
Yeah.
And that VA kind of screwed it up because I already have a place in my area where I have skip-traced notes right above them fields for them just to dump that information in, and that's what I assumed
right.
we would go through and call and make notes and then put them in there somewhere.
Right.
So I was kind of on the right path. This just screwed me up by him knowing more about it than me. So
gotcha.
I'll get back to having them just dump the data that they grab in that field, and then we'll
perfect
put it.
Yeah, just dump the number because then
like
I said, your acquisitions can call through them and figure out what is the best number.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
Yep.
Okay, so
cool.
that'll just simplify that for me and them.
Yep.
Okay, so that really screwed me up this weekend with getting more lead skip trace because as they were going in and changing them, it kept changing everything, and I'm trying to figure out, well, what the heck is going on? So
right.
Now I explains it. Now I know. So now I'm going to back up. And so they did get some stuff skip traced, but I was having them put them in the notes field anyway. I told them I made them put them in the notes field so I had it, and then I was having them put it in that other field.
Gotcha.
I'll just tell them to bypass the other part of it, just dump it in the notes and put it in the header, the address in the header, and that's it. So,
yep.
Okay.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Yep.
We got the three offers out late last week after our last meeting. I'd done that one during our call, and then we did two more. So I'm up to like 17 total.
Yeah, I saw that on your weekly update. So what has the feedback been on these offers so far? How many people have you heard from that told you yes or no, maybe, or where are we at?
Probably 60% of them, and most of them are it's a no. So
is it a no, or is it a counter, or
well,
I would take this?
Well, no.
Or?
So there's two things. Okay, so there's probably 20% of them that are just not interested in selling, interested.
Yeah.
And we put that in the field, not interested, and then I'll have him put a task to it to follow up in 90 days. So that in 90 days we can call them up again, and if it's still sitting vacant, we can kind of explore it again.
Yeah, and you probably want to drop an email in about 45,
okay,
something like that. What can happen in a whole quarter of a year,
okay,
which 90 days is. So I would like to see about every 45 days, just in case, because things can happen. Life can happen fast.
So haven't given us any other contact info. They really don't. They're not interested. They don't really.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they're fairly adamant, so you're just getting that response. No, I don't want to sell.
Yeah, that's
so,
fine. 60 to 90 is probably okay then, just to call them back.
But so I don't have an email address for those individuals.
Okay.
The ones that were getting to the next step, I'm still trying to get my sales guy, dialed in with kind of the procedure because he's wanting to do more research to get the offers out. You know what I mean? Last week we had a good talk about just get them to the point where they're comfortable, find out what their motivations are.
Yep.
Let them give us the opportunity to give them an offer.
Yep.
And he had already kind of, before we had that conversation, had set up some appointments to go and look at the property. He says, there's no point in even looking at the property if we're not even in the same ball field. So he's trying to do something prior, and I said it's a waste of energy. Let's not. So again, we're trying to massage things, and he was out last week most of the week getting leads. So today he's been on the phone all day.
Okay.
And I haven't had an update with him yet. I've kind of been, you know, out of touch for most of the afternoon. I had some things I was doing. So I'll get with him in the morning and find out how well he did. And
how are you having him run quick numbers so that he can get to an offer in a relatively short amount of time?
Since our conversation last week, you know, our meeting on Thursday, you know, I hadn't given him that authority yet to go ahead and start running a number and giving it to him because we're still trying to figure out.
So he set appointments for you then. Okay.
So I gave him that directive on Friday after our meeting. I says, what I want to be able to do is get you to be able to make the offers. Yeah. I want, you know, give you the authority. We're going to go in, we'll get you set up and let you decide, okay, here we're at, give you the numbers and let you do it and just get back with them either immediately or within, you know, within a relatively quick amount of time, within 15, 20 minutes or something, just give you a chance to work on it. So yep. He knows that that's what I want. So we've already made them offers before that kind of was able to take place. So from here forth, he knows that that's the direction we want to go. When he gets the opportunity, we'll get him in that process and make him come up with it. So that's kind of where we're headed. So we just got to see what happens with the phone calls he's made today. Since he didn't email me or text me, I'm assuming that he hadn't made any offers today or had the opportunity.
Okay.
So we'll just kind of see what happens.
Okay. Yeah, so obviously follow-up, right? You can use the task manager in there. That's what we're doing, using the task manager in FreedomSoft. You can use autoresponders in FreedomSoft, whatever method works, right? And at some point, you have different salespeople that say, hey, I'm just going to throw it on a Google Calendar. My preference is to keep it inside of FreedomSoft so that you can see it. If that salesperson isn't around in 90 days, you still know to follow up. But, you know, see if they can use it in there. And that's the key. And then so most of these offers you've made are not to vacants. Is that correct? They were to some landlords that you shot a text message to?
No. Only the first seven that I had done were to buy and hold people. So the ones since then have all been vacants through the vacant lead list.
Okay. And are there, from the conversations, is there motivation to sell?
Some of them have some motivation, but they're wanting close to retail. You know what I mean? The one individual didn't want to, it was odd. He didn't, you know, he wants to get a number, wants to, price, but he wasn't given any information. I mean, he had the windows boarded up and he's saying, well, it's got new windows on it. It's got, you know, he wasn't given enough detail for us to even make a wild guess. So I just put in some numbers and said, you know what? I mean, it was the ARV on the house was, I think, 120 and I threw a number like 85,000, which gave me enough money to do some rehab and make our money on it and still have something left on the end for a buy and hold guy. And I think that's what that one was, if I remember right. But as a fix and flipper, I don't think it was numbers didn't work.
And they just said, no, I want closer to market value.
Yeah. He was talking more like 100.
Okay.
And it was like, so this is where
sort of motivated, but not really.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to come across this. And this is where you've got to have that sales mentality, that high D, right? And you've got to equip them with some questions. Typically, in most cases, on a beat-up house, the pain is the fix-up. Wow. So, you know, so based on what you're telling me, this thing needs a new roof, yada, yada, yada. Now, this one, it sounds like there's been some work done to it. Right?
But he wouldn't tell us what. You know, you wouldn't give us
a
new cabinets. I did this, I did that. Yeah, it's like you want a number, but you won't give me any information. So I'm going to give you a number based on what you're giving me, leaving me a little bit of room both ways. If you told me it had been rehabbed, then that's a different conversation.
So that's a tough sale. So this is where you kind of have to dig around. If the property's been rehabbed, why is it boarded up and why are you not selling it? You're just content to pay the taxes every year on this thing and to spend money instead of making that, you know, just say, hey, you're an investor. You bought an investment property. I'm an investor. I'm just trying to figure out what's your end game with this thing? What's going on here? And that,
and he may not have been an investor. Maybe it's something other. Who knows?
Right.
You know.
So this is where I've noticed, because I'm listening to some sales calls, and that's the other thing is you've got my recommendation. You've got to use FreedomSoft and turn on the call recorder, because then you can go in. Because most of your acquisitions people that you all are going to find, they don't have real estate experience. So you got to listen to some calls, daily, at least a couple times a week, and go in there and hear their conversations and steer them in the right direction. But they have to be sniffing out pain, right?
Yeah.
And somebody's like, I don't really need to sell it. Well, what are the property taxes on this thing? Are your taxes current? So you're paying $600 a month to keep a property that you're not going to do anything with? What's, what's the thought process behind that? How long has it been vacant? You know, are you paying to mow the grass? What are your utilities? I know the house is vacant. They're probably not much, but, are you keeping a couple lights on there? And not everybody's motivated, but this is where you've got to equip your acquisitions people with some questions to start digging.
Yeah.
And like I said, go ahead.
This particular guy, I think, is probably, he's the exception, and he's probably just a good learning guide for the sales guy to actually say, okay, this guy's really probably just yanking our chain. I mean, obviously, if he needed to sell it and had any interest at all, but this will give him the direction to dig in deeper. But this guy's probably the lost sale anyway, because even if you come up with a better number for him, obviously, if it was close, we'd be there. So I think it's just use it as a tool, help him focus in, and, just ask the better questions. I think like you said, I need to get FreedomSoft activated. I'm having some technical difficulty. I got an older computer and it's like a 2012, which is millennials old by now. So
when it comes to computers, right?
It is.
If you bought it last week, it's basically outdated.
So I'm having some issues with getting the ability to voice record and all that stuff into FreedomSoft and call in and out of it. So
what, if you, a 2012 based on what it is should run that. So if you need some help with that this week on one of the days, let me know. Cause I can activate some of that stuff from my end for you too. I can log into your account if need be. So keep me in the loop on that.
And I'm just having some problem with the community, just making the calls into it, because I've tried to call into it and I don't have no way on my computer to receive and talk to the person. So, I just experimented with my own phone, called to my FreedomSoft number, figuring it out, trying to understand how it works.
Yeah. So here's the thing: you can't answer incoming calls to a FreedomSoft number.
Okay.
What it'll do is it can either forward that incoming call to your cell phone or to your salesperson's cell phone, which is how we do it. Or if you don't answer it, so let's say I've got a FreedomSoft number set up and it's forwarded to my cell phone. Somebody calls it, my cell phone's going to ring. If I answer, obviously I'm talking to them. If I don't answer, the phone system in FreedomSoft will grab that call back and it'll play them your FreedomSoft voice message. They can leave a message and it'll capture whatever they say.
Okay.
So that's how it works. So you can dial out, but for you to be able to dial in, I asked Rob about it. He's probably not going to put it in because now we need it to be a phone, which is, line one has a phone call. Oh, wait, here's another one calling in on line two. Hey, can I put you on hold real quick? Let me bump over.
Yeah.
It's probably not ever going to become that from what he told me.
So I understand it. So if someone calls into the FreedomSoft number and it forwards it to my phone, and that conversation that I'm having is being recorded. If I turn that on, correct?
It is.
As long as it's
linked
through
FreedomSoft. That's what's crazy about it. Yeah, my understanding is, and this is what Rob was telling me the other day. I was asking him about it. He said even if you answer on the forwarded call, it should be recording it.
Okay.
So I need to test that, but that's pretty slick. So it's still being routed through FreedomSoft to grab the recording.
And the outgoing calls, so that's going to work the same way. If we're calling out to our sellers through the FreedomSoft number.
Yep, recorded. If you have call recording on, that's the thing. You have to turn it on.
Okay, so your link is still coming through your own personal phone number. It's just basically boomeranging off of the FreedomSoft number back in and back
it's just
out.
Routing,
okay.
Yeah, it's just routing through FreedomSoft, however that works.
Okay.
Yeah, because he made sure of that because he said, hey, if somebody calls in and it gets forwarded to our acquisitions team on a cell phone, we still got to have the recording.
Sure.
Right, we can't lose the recording on all of those phone calls. So
I'll just have to put my sales guy's forwarding number into the FreedomSoft as the forwarding number, and if I needed to change that for any reason, you can only have one per FreedomSoft number, I would assume.
Yeah, you can only
forward one number. If I changed it to mine, it would change it to mine, but it's only going to be either whoever one number that's in there is the only number it's going to bounce back and forth between. Okay, gotcha.
Yep, and all you do is go to your My Numbers page. Go find the number you want to forward, go over to the right, click the little pencil icon to edit it, and then there's a call forwarding box, put in the right number, and it's instant. So if you change it right now and click save and somebody called that number, it'll go to the new one.
Yeah, okay. I had seen all that in there. I'm having trouble getting to record my voice message into the thing, so
have
it
so
on.
So for that, on the voice recording, click the drop-down. Don't upload an MP3. Because if it's not the exact right file, it won't read it. So click Record Custom, and what will happen then is a record button will pop up on the screen. Click record, talk into your computer. Now, here's the thing. Your computer has to have a microphone to receive sound.
That's where I was having a problem. I don't
okay,
have a mic on my computer.
Okay, so a couple options. I believe, and I've never checked that on mobile, I think that's active on mobile. If it's not, you're going to have to find another device in your house and record it. And once it's recorded and saved, you don't have to change it again.
Sure.
But you're going to have to find a device where that's going to work.
And that's where I'm hung up. I figured all the rest of the system out, but so I have it just on the default recording right now, whatever's in there, which I
– Yeah, you want to change that because it's like a – It's kind of an electronic female-sounding voice, and it's very short and abbreviated.
So,
nobody will know it's you. So
that's
I would
why
recommend,
I haven't put that in. Yeah, I haven't put that in motion yet, so I haven't had him using it because I want to make sure that the correct response is there because any lost opportunity is going to be a lost opportunity. I don't want to. So I'm trying to make sure the pieces are right before I activate it. That's the only hitch I've had with
find
that.
Find a device that has a microphone or go get a new laptop.
Yeah, I'll have to. I got to deal with the desktop. So, okay, no problem.
Right.
Yeah, that's
cool.
That's about it. Everything else, I generated a lot of leads last week with my sales guy. He brought in like another 120.
Nice.
So,
and you've had the highest offer number on any update that I've received, which is 17, which is a strong number. So, way to go. Okay.
Thank you.
That is the key stat. How many offers are we making? So.
Okay. Well, I'll think they're key in when I start seeing them sign contracts. That's when
I agree, but here's the thing. proper actions lead to desired results, right? And that's one of them. And it really, that's why I'm going to keep asking you, what's the feedback on the offers? Are you too high? Are you too low? Are you, what's going on? Are we not setting them up right? Right? You can't, the reason you've got to have your acquisitions people talking about pain and finding pain because it sets up that offer. You can't be going, and this is why you want the calls recorded. You can't be going to offer in 4 minutes. I mean, you've got to build some rapport with these sellers, right? And that's why you want those calls recorded. I mean, a good sales call is going 25 to 45 minutes.
And
getting to know people.
I think my sales guy being in that market might be a bit of a disadvantage because I think he's probably more in tune to those people than he may not be as in tune to them as he thinks he is. He was a liquor salesman, but he was dealing with the community and he kind of understands them. But he's kind of under the mentality that they're like, way laid back and that if you come at them too fast, that they're going to just back off because he's grown up there. He knows the area he's in. And from his dealings, he thinks that that might be more of a negative than a positive. And I said, important thing is just, let's follow the script. And if the script is not working and you're following the script, then we can modify. We can find another means, but don't use all your knowledge to base how you deal with it. Let's start with what we're being taught. If we have to change, we have to change, but we got to know why we're changing. He's
right.
Defaulted to his natural instincts, and he's having conversations with them, and he's getting to know them on that side, because that's what he's told me. These people want you to court them. They don't want you to come at them hard and fast. I says, well, in Denver, if you're 2 seconds slow, you're 10 days behind. So I said, our mentality here is you get in there, you make offers, you don't mess around. And his
okay. So I'm gonna back that up a little bit, and I'm gonna lean with if you're just making offers on listed properties all day long, you gotta be right. You gotta be first to the table. But when you're talking to a seller who has an emotional tie to this property, then I want you to default a little bit to what he's telling you about, hey, these people, they want you to get to know them. And that's what I'm saying about these sales calls is they can take 20 to 45 minutes, right? Get to know somebody. Mm-hmm. The other thing too is, you know, if you get that relationship built, you're not just another investor. They know a little bit about your acquisitions person. Maybe you're talking family, right? You're trying to connect with them on some level. Now you're almost moving closer to the friend zone than some stranger that just called out of the blue, and it's harder to charge a friend full price, right? Because now you know this person and like them. So now they're on your side of the table. So yes, you want offers out there, but it can't just be, you know, a 4-minute phone conversation. Hey, I know we just met. You don't know me from Adam, but I'll give you $28,000 for your house.
Yeah. And so, I get that. I mean, I that's not what I was pushing him to.
Okay. The rapport piece is the key piece.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the key piece.
And I've learned that just through my experience having to build relationships with people. Definitely, I'm not pushing him like a used car salesman. You got to get in there, make him an offer. But
yeah,
I was just trying to kind of understand where he was coming from and feeling like he would get to the point where they wanted an offer, but then he would tell me, well, you know, we don't have to get that offer back to him for like at least a couple days.
Yeah, no, that's
so I was allowing him to do his. I was allowing him to do his part, but then when he was telling me 3-4 days or whatever, 48 hours, I'm thinking, well, if they're here listening to you, I would want him to know and give it to him. So.
And here's the thing is, that's a really easy piece to add to the script and say, hey, here's the thing. I really appreciate your time today, Mike. I don't want to waste your time. You know, certainly don't want to waste mine. Let's do this. You know, based on what you've told me, let me go crunch some numbers. I'll tell you what we can pay for it. I'll get that back to you, you know, tomorrow by noon at the latest. Let's see if the number works. If it does, we'll talk about how to move forward. If not, we'll part as friends. But that way, you're being polite, but you're also putting a deadline to it. Don't end a good conversation and not get an offer to somebody until 4 days later. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Okay. The sooner the better. Get that number.
It sounds good. Sounds good coming off of your tongue because you've done it and you've got so much experience with it. For me, it is all new. So I hear it sounds really good, but, you know,
the important thing is
that he's doing
it. It just has to be written down.
Yeah.
So, you know, figure out a line like that or two. Type it out, put it in the script, however you're going to present it. But, yeah, if you're not making an offer on the first phone call, can you do it within, you know, I'll call you back within the next 2 hours. Can you guys do it that fast? That's even better, same day.
Yeah.
You know, if you're talking to somebody at 7 p.m., hey, I'll get it to you by 10 a.m. tomorrow, something like that. That's reasonable. But, yeah, you don't need to be giving them a ton of time. Just say, hey, I tell you what, let us crunch some numbers. You know, let's get a number on the table. We'll see if that works with you. And that little line about that way, we'll get a number in your hands. If it seems like it'll work, we'll talk about how to proceed. If not, we'll part ways as friends and we won't put any more time into this.
Yeah.
Something along those lines. So,
okay. That sounds good.
Good stuff.
All right. So other than that, I'm good.
Cool. Who else? Crickets. Silence. Silence. I know it's Monday. Monday. Any Eagles fans here on the line with us? I don't know that anybody's a Philly fan.
I'm not a Patriots fan, so anybody winning besides
I'm
the Patriots
what,
is good
man.
With me.
I think the way it works is Philly fans had a good day yesterday, and teams who root for any other team that's not the Patriots had a pretty good day.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. What a game. Shootout. Anyway. Who else? Updates and questions.
Hey, this is Dennis.
Hey, Dennis. How are you?
I'm doing great out here.
Good.
I did get the deal closed, and I'm working on this second one. I should have that one wrapped up within the next 7 days. So I'm excited about that.
On the one that closed, did you assign it or double close it?
Assignment.
Okay. And what was your assignment?
Assignment. This one. 3,000. This is my first wire transfer. I hadn't did a wire transfer before. So it was like, you know, I normally pick up the check from the closing agency. So when we talked, I didn't have all the details. I was kind of, you know, waiting for everything and waiting for it to hit. And it took about 3 days, and it just hit directly. So I was, but I didn't get I need to get a copy of the HUD one because I didn't get that to see how you put it. Or that's not even a concern.
Not on the assignment. You were just in and out. So those are your closing costs. That's not your closing anymore. Basically, what you did is you had a contract to go buy a property, and for $3,000, you allowed somebody else to take your place on that transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you just made your money and you're out. They basically just became you for a fee at the closing.
And I got an email from the seller thanking me for everything. It was a good time. I was appreciative of that.
Solved the problem, got paid, and then the seller, the person whose problem you solved, and you know you helped get rid of a property, sent you a thank you. That's beautiful. That's what we do.
Yeah,
get paid to help.
And both the thing that was kind of weird about this is both the seller and the buyer were real estate agents.
Huh. And you were the one that figured it out for him. Imagine that.
Right. Yeah.
I love it. That cracks me up. So tell us about another deal. You said it's about 7 days out. Is it another vacant?
Mm-hmm. No, this one has a tenant in it. It's problematic because the tenant is in it and the seller is, you know, kind of doesn't like going in with the tenant, but the actual tenant is moving out next month. So I'm like, why? It's only there's no more rent coming in. So you got your last rent check. You know, let's move forward and get this thing taken care of. So when this person move out, we can have this thing closed. So I think that's what took it so long.
What do you have it under contract for?
This one. Let me pull it up. This one is, I think this is an
85,000?
Right.
Or 8,500?
This is
85,000?
85,000.
Okay.
85,000.
How many beds, baths, and square feet?
3-1.
Okay. 3-1.
Let me pull it up so I can give you good numbers. 3-1, it's, I'm gonna say roughly 1,200. I'm pulling it up now.
Okay.
And the rent is rented now. It's a rental. It's rented now for 900, like 980.
Okay.
But the market rent is 1,200.
So it's way low.
Right.
But the tenant's leaving, which is a good thing.
Right.
So 1,200, you have it at 85. What are you going to try and sell it for? Or do you already have it sold?
I'm trying to sell it. So, okay, I said the numbers wrong. I got it under contract for 120, and I'm selling it for 125.
125. How much work does it need?
None.
None. It's rent ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's say that let's run some numbers on this. What's the cap rate on this thing if it rents at 1,200? $1,080 divided by. You're trying to sell it for 125 and it needs nothing. So call it 127,000. Yeah, 126,500 with closing costs. So here we go. 1,200 times 70% is 840 net rents times 12 months is $10,080 net annual income, and then divided by the total acquisition cost. So we just said you have it at 120, trying to sell it at 125, and then I call it $1,500 in closing cost. So 126,500. Whoops. Hang on, I did some bad math there. So 840 times 12 months is 10,080 divided by 126,500, 7.9 cap. Do you have a buyer that will take an 8 cap?
Yeah, I got the buyers are buying a 6 cap in this market, so that's why I've been, you know, doing.
That's delicious. So can you make a little more on it?
I probably could, yeah. I didn't run the numbers right.
Could you make 7?
And that I could probably get 7.
If the appetite is 6, and if you can make 7, then you've got an above average property. And my guess is this is more like a B-minus, B-plus neighborhood, but this is probably in a decent area. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, obviously cap rate, as neighborhood quality goes up, cap rate typically goes down. Right? Because it's how much risk are you taking on? If you're in a C-minus neighborhood, 6 cap probably isn't going to fly. But a 12 probably will. Right? This is what you have to ask your buyers. Kind of depends. As you go up, you know, you get into that C, C-plus, B-minus, B neighborhoods, properties are nicer. School systems tend to be a little bit better, right? Close to shopping. Neighborhoods are probably newer. You know, that cap rate's gonna start coming down because it's gonna be perceived as less risky. So, just like any other investment, the higher the risk, the higher potential for returns. So, real estate's not gonna be any different when it comes to that. So, yeah, if you've got you've got a little more room on this if you've got 6 cap buyers in town.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking at the buy and hold calculator, it only goes to 8. So I need to be – trying to figure out how to get it down to 6.
These are the numbers you have to know. Take your gross rent times 0.7. In this case, it's 840 times 12 and 80. And here's what you can do now with this 1080 number. You can either say, hey, if I sell this thing for 125, what's the cap rate? And divide it by that. Or you can go the other way and say, if I have a 7 cap buyer, what would they pay for this? So I take my same 10,080 and divide it by 0.07. They could pay a 7 cap buyer on this deal could pay $144,000 and get a 7% return at $1,200 a month gross rent. That's how that works. So not complicated math, but you've got to know this, like just be able to pull this off the top of your head at all times.
Okay.
And it always starts the same. Put in your gross rents times 0.7 times 12. That's your net annual income. And then from there, either divide it by the total acquisition cost to get the cap rate or divide it by the cap rate to see what the total acquisition cost can be. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Anybody else has any questions on that, You know, we use it all the time, but I want it. We got to drill that because you have to be able to pull that when you're buying rentals. You've got to be able to pull this math out quick, right? Grab your smartphone, pull up the calculator. You got to be able to run this in 30 seconds so you know where you sit. When I first ran this, I saw a 7.9 cap, and I thought, that, you know, what is the appetite there? It's an 8 cap, but you're saying you have 6 cap buyers. So that's right in the wheelhouse.
Yeah, and it's like the ARV is around 150, 160.
Cool.
I mean, actually.
So to sell it at
if you
want to
bring it up.
You've got a better than average return if people are taking 6 and you're selling them a deal with equity in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So that can be a win-win across the board. Here's what I want to explain something to you all real quick. When people look at a property, just average Joe or Jane, whatever, and you give them an address and they say, I wonder what it's worth. Where do most people go?
Zillow.
And they look at the Z estimate or the Zestimate, whatever that is. And here's the thing about Zestimates. In some places, the algorithm that Zillow runs is pretty accurate. In other places, it's not even close. But I want this is a live example. And so I want to talk to you all about this really quick because you have to know what people are going to do. So I don't know if Lee's on with us today, but Lee's got a little deal in Dallas, and I had him send me the address today because I was looking at it. Because I'm as of February 1st, working some leads down in Dallas-Fort Worth. And so I'm chatting with Lee, and he says, I've got an address. I'm going to fire it over. So he sends it over. I run some math on it. Based on what it rents for, I think a 10 cap buyer could pay, I can't remember the exact number, but $78,000, something like that for it on a little 2-1. Here's the thing. I type that address into Zillow and the Zestimate says it's worth $66,000. Here's why I'm bringing this up. This is a little side note. Knowing what people's tendencies are when you're trying to sell a little rental like this, and Dennis, you just brought it up. A 7 cap with these numbers, you could sell it at $144,000.
Mm.
And you said it's valued up around $150,000. You're fine. What if the Zestimate on this thing was $106,000, or that's what Zillow says, and then you're trying to sell it for $144,000. That's a lot tougher sell.
Right.
You have to find an investor buyer who says, I don't care about the value, I just want the return. And that buyer's out there, but most landlord buyers want to know about the return and the value. And so I'm just telling you all, as you start selling deals, you've got to pay attention to where are buyers likely going to go and what is that information to tell them. Now, if you think Zillow's off and Zillow says 106, but you have, you know, 5 comps in the area that prove 150, make sure that's a part of your story when you're selling this deal. And say, here's the thing, Dennis. If you go to Zillow and type in this address, the Zestimate is going to show you that this thing is only worth $106,000. But I completely disagree. What's your email? I'm going to send you over 5 comps that say this thing's worth $152,000. I'm selling it at $144,000, which means not only are you getting a 7% return on this, but there should be some equity already built into the property based on recent sales, right? Make that, overcome that objection as a part of your story. Is everybody following what I just laid out there?
That was one of my concerns about my new market because the comps are all over the place, and I'm still trying to figure it out. You know, you see houses from 2000 to 80,000, and they're all in the same area, and I'm
right.
You know, I can't spend a lot of time trying to figure it out. I just got to find the master buyers up with the sellers. I mean, that's my main driving point right now.
Here's how you do it. Ask your buyers, how do you run your numbers? How do you know when you're looking at a deal? Right, get their formula. You want to know exactly how they run their numbers. I was telling you a couple weeks ago, I was talking to a buyer, and he sent me his acquisitions calculator, the spreadsheet. That's perfect. Because now I can just plug the numbers in and run numbers just like I'm him, right? So that's really valuable.
Right.
But if they don't have one, you want them to tell you. And then you're going to ask them, hey, you know, when you go to buy rentals, are you looking for the return and equity? Are you willing to buy a property, you know, with the return you want that's, say, right at market value? Are you willing to pay a little more for the return? Right? These are some of the questions you're going to start asking. So as you build these buyer profiles, you know what buyers are looking at. What I'm telling you is, you want to know, when you go to sell a deal, you want to know what Zillow says, whether it's right or wrong. It's where people go. They plug in an address and they say, you know, Dennis is trying to sell me a house at $144,000. What is this thing worth? If they go to Zillow and see that it says $151,000, it's supporting you. If they go to Zillow and it says $110,000, you've got a hurdle to overcome, right? So just, I'm just saying, know what your buyer's tendencies are going to be. Get out ahead of it and build that in as a part of your story when you go to sell these things. So Dennis, you've got, if you sell this thing at 125, and I'm all for whatever you want to do here. If you want to try and make a quick five, I'm all for it. I think there's a little more room in this, assuming the numbers you're giving us are accurate. And you can still go to the table and say, it's ready to go. You're probably going to have to clean it for a couple $100. And this thing is ready for a new tenant. I'm selling it at $125,000. That's a 7.9% return with using, right? And I'm taking out 30% for expenses to come to those numbers. And if you jump on Zillow, it says the value on this thing's up around $150,000. So not only are you walking into the return, but also into some equity. And that's the story that you want to tell on this thing. That's solid. You know, 7 to 8% return, good little neighborhood, equity out of the gate. Now you've got a little story to tell.
Okay.
But piece that together. That's what separates every person that went to a seminar and they fire out an email and said, here's the address, here's the price, and they wonder why they can't get any traction. And then we come to the table and say, no, right? Let me tell you the little story about this thing. Here's how it comes together, and we paint the picture for them. That's how you get deals sold.
Okay.
Stories sell, not facts. Facts justify the decision that they're about to make. We buy on emotion and stories. Stories get tie into the emotion, and then we use facts about what. And this is whatever we're buying, from shoes to real estate. We buy on emotion, and then we justify with facts. Got to have these pair of shoes or whatever it is. Got to have that car. Here's the thing. I really want it, right? I want to show up in that truck. Oh, and here's the thing, right? I looked up the service history on this thing and blah, 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 and, all the reports and the reviews and bam, bam, bam. We go to the facts to justify what we just wanted to buy. And that real estate's going to work that same way. But the facts around the deal need to support the story about the little property that you're selling, all right?
Okay.
So, awesome. Got a deal closed. When did that thing close? A week and a half ago?
Yes, it closed on the 30th.
Okay. So just, within the last week here, 5 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wire landed. I love it. We've got another one here that you're about to wrap up. So it's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So any other questions, Dennis, or
on
where you're at?
No, the thing I was, I think I asked it, but I had the time and offer comp. I know I'm telling the story. I got to incorporate that in equity cap rate Zillow. Okay. I think that was it. I think I don't know if I had a question. I don't know if I asked it already. I started taking down notes.
I just want to make sure before I see. Okay. If something else comes up, let me know before we jump off today. Well.
Okay.
And I'm going to throw this. Is everybody clear on that math? If somebody's not, I want to go over it, right? Not all of us like math when we were in school. I get it. So if we need to go over that again, I'm happy to do so because you have to know how to run the numbers. Because what's going to happen is somebody's going to throw a deal at you, and you're going to say, is it a deal or not? And I can tell you within 30 seconds. Or you're going to be looking at a deal saying, what should I offer? And you're not going to know. And I can tell you within 30 seconds, here's the price range we need to be in. And you've got to be able to do that. So if anybody has questions on that, if we need to run a few more examples, I'm happy to do that. So let me know. These are the two anchors training in the coaching center. That's what we're talking about here, using monthly rents to figure out price points. Who else?
Hey, what's up, Mike? It's Ryan.
Hey, Ryan. How are you?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Good, man.
All right. So I had that one deal wrapped up today. I closed on that one today. So I got a wire in for that one, made $4,500 on it.
Nice. What did you make on this one? And did you wholesale it? Assign it or double close it?
Yeah, I just assigned it.
Okay. And what was the amount?
I made $4,500 on it.
Love it.
So I only probably spent maybe an hour and a half on this one, maybe.
That's brain surgeon money right there, $4,500
right,
an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was pretty excited about that one. Yeah,
that's killer.
I got that one wrapped up today. Yeah, I've got the wire in.
So tell us, I'm sure we went over it, but throw the numbers at me real quick. Tell me what you sold and what your end buyer picked up. Is this a little rental or a flip?
All right, this is a two-bedroom, one-bath rental, just under 900 square feet, rents for about $650.
Okay.
My buyer, I was in it for $8,000. I sold it to my buyer for $12,500. Probably needs about $12,000 worth of work. But these guys put in the sweat equity, so they're going to do all of the work themselves. So
they're going to do it for less. What do you think they'll
do it
for?
Yeah,
maybe
eight.
Eight or nine.
And I actually went. I just went by the property kind of because I had to go pick up my lockbox, and I already peeked inside, and they already got like cabinets in there and
I love it.
Flooring and everything, and they just closed on it this morning, so
that's a buyer
right.
who gets it. They're lined up ready to rock and roll. Okay, so let's run this. You sold it to them for $12,500. You think they're going to put eight into it? That's $20,500. And then what were their closing costs? $1,000, $800.
Not even that. I mean,
okay,
maybe $500.
Okay, so let's call it $21,000. So you said it rents for $650. So here's the same math again. What's our anchor? Monthly rent, $650 times 0.7 is $455 times 12, $5,460 net annual income based on the rental. And we said they're going to be all in for about $21,000 divided by $21,000 is a 26 cap.
Yeah, that's a crazy return,
26, Ryan, and everybody else on here is saying, can I please buy some rentals from you?
Yeah, this is like the second one. This is actually the second one they bought from me like that.
Those numbers are nuts. So here's the thing. That buyer is going to come back to you all day long, and I think you've got some room to make a little more money on some of these. But you've got – that is a smoking deal, which you know. Check this out. So the other calculation is return of cash. Remember, they're all in for $21,000, right? So let's go back to our $650 gross monthly rents times 70%, $455. Now I'm just going to remember that in my head. $21,000 is what they're all in for, divided by $455, which is what they're going to recover, the net amount they're going to recover on a monthly basis. Just over 46 months. Divided by 12, 3.8-year return of cash. Ryan, that is a smoking rental.
Yeah.
How would you grade out this neighborhood? B-?
Yeah, B-.
That's unbelievable. I'm telling you, you turned over a deal. You could have made twice what you did and still give him a a heck of a deal.
Yeah, and I was aware of that. It was just one kind of under some pressure to get it closed, and the closing day was coming up. So,
amen. Everybody won. You made a profit. You have an hour and a half in this thing. I'm not knocking. I'm not saying anything negative about what you did. I tell you what. Go out and talk to buyers until you find 8 to 12 cap buyers who will take that same deal.
That's what I've been looking for, man. I've been trying to beat the door down, trying to find some of those under 10 cap buyers. Because I can, man, if I find some under 10 cap buyers, I can serve
them all
day. Yeah.
you can do two of those a year and live well.
Yeah, if you can
find an 8 cap buyer for that deal.
Man,
Here's the thing, though. This goes back to what I was just saying. What do you think the value of that property is? Let me ask you this. What does Zillow say the value of that property is? What does Zillow say it is?
I think it had it at like 40.
Okay, so here, this is why I just went through that whole thing about you've got to be paying attention to what's online, because watch this. Let's say Ryan finds me, and I was like, man, I'll buy 8 caps all day long. All day long. Here's how this thing would shake out. So he goes, okay, what would Mike pay for this place? 650 times 0.7, 455 times 12, 5460. And I say I'd buy 8 caps divided by 0.08, which is divided by 8%. So Mike could pay at an 8 cap $68,250 for this thing. But Ryan's clever, and he says, yeah, but Mike's probably going to jump on Zillow, and the Z estimate on this thing is like 44. How am I going to sell him a $68,000 house that's worth 44 grand? Right?
Right.
That's why you have to know, what are your buyers finding online? Now, you may find a buyer that says, this is why you want to ask. Right? What if I bring you a solid 12 cap deal, and at a 12 cap, you know, your buy price is $75,000, and you go on Zillow and it says the estimate's $55,000. Is it going to break the deal, or are you going to take it anyway? I got to be asking that question, because I want to know. Are they just? And I'm telling you, buyers have different appetites. Some of your buyers are going to say, yeah, I'm not going to overpay. I'm not going to be upside down in a property. I don't care what the return is. And other buyers will say, I don't care what the value is. I'm going to hold this thing for the next 20 years. Value is going to fluctuate. I just want the return. What is it rent for? That's all I care about. You'll get both answers, but you've got to know that. And you've got to know what Zillow says, because that's where people go. Whether it's right, wrong, or whatever, that's where people go. So just know ahead of time when you're telling your story, is Zillow helping your cause? Is Zillow hurting your cause and you're going to have to overcome it? I'm just saying, when you go to tell your story, you've got to know this stuff so you get out ahead of it. That's why I went through that whole thing earlier. So that was the reason. So Ryan, this is killer, man. Smoking little deal. Here's the thing. I would say with these guys, you know them. They close. You can say, hey fellas, check it out, man. This last deal I sold you, I know you guys ran the math. That was a 26 cap, 3.8 year return of cash. So when you bring them the next deal to the table, say, this one isn't a 26 cap, but I super hooked you up on that last one. So I'm going to sell you this one at an 18, and here's your price. You understand your relationship with these buyers, but I would say if you want to play that card on the next deal, I would say that's more than fair, because you just sold them a smoking deal. Nice job. And you got paid $4,500 an hour to get it done. That's crazy. That's the draw of real estate, right? Property they didn't want. You made money, and buyers got a property that they do want. It's a three-way win-win-win. All three parties sound like they're happy. Let's do this again. So, that's killer. What else do you have in the works?
Closing on that one, they were just like super ecstatic, because they were like, man, we're so tired of this property, we just didn't know what to do with it. So I was happy I was able to help those guys up.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, so right now, I actually, while Dennis was talking, I had put in another, I actually went to say I had a couple appointments this weekend, and this one property I have, I'm pretty much got it under contract. He's going to send me back the paperwork tonight.
What are the numbers look like?
This one is a three bed, one bath, just over 1,300 square feet, has a full basement, has a carport and a one-car garage. ARV on it is about $85,000, and I'm kind of thinking I'm kind of being conservative on that, but I'm going to keep it right there about $85,000. I have it under contract for $25,000.
Well, how much work does it need?
I say it probably needs. They've done a lot of the work.
Okay.
They've done some stuff for us, updating the electric, done some plumbing work on it, but it does need some other work on the roof and cosmetics on the inside. So I put in the budget for around 30, but I don't. I'm thinking that it'll be somewhere around there, but I'm not even sure it'll reach 30 because, like I said, they've done a lot of
the
flooring. Cabinets are good.
Is it a rental or a flip?
I would look at this. I think you can get away with rent. I think you can get away with either one, but I would kind of look. I'm gonna kind of try to sell it as a flip.
What does it rent for?
It rents for around $850 to $900.
Okay. Did you put it? Did you run this thing through the rehab estimator in FreedomSoft?
Yeah, the rehab estimator is giving me $16,000 on the rental side, and then it's giving me about. It's giving me around 30 to 35 on the rehab side.
And for the existing condition, did you put in total beater or livable needs work or clean, livable clean?
I think I put in total beater. That's why I said these estimates are kind of high on it.
I think they
are. I put that out there just to be conservative.
Here's the thing. You know some facts about this thing. Have you been inside it, or have you had somebody go through it and take photos?
Yep, I've been inside of it. So that's why I said put 30 just to be extra conservative, but I don't think.
Well, here's the thing, though. I don't mind being conservative, but let's not miss on fix up by 10 or 12 grand.
Okay.
So go back into the rehab estimator and change the existing condition to livable needs work. It may even be livable clean. It doesn't sound to me like it's total beater. It just doesn't. Now, here's the thing. If you go livable clean, that's going to give you your lowest estimate. If you need to put in, you know, ramp up the roof a little bit because you know the roof needs some work, do that. But I'm telling you that I'm okay with being a little conservative, but like I said, we don't want to be 15,000 conservative because now your story's getting better. Right?
Right, right. Yep.
Because you have it for 25, okay? And what did you say it rented for? 850?
850 to 900, yeah.
Okay, and you think value is about 85,000. So what are you going to try and sell it for? 30 or more?
Probably about 35.
Okay, so you're going to try and make 10. So this is why you want that number to be dialed, because you may be able to tell both a fix and flip and a buy and hold story on this thing.
Okay.
So let's say I'm your buyer. You're going to sell it to me at 35 grand. You say, Mike, here's the thing. The roof needs some work, but the house for the most part is clean. I've been through it, yada, yada, yada. Tell the story about this thing. You know, you get with your GC. This is what you're going to tell me. You get with your contractor to see, but I'm putting the rehab at around 15. I think it's 20 tops. I think 15 is realistic. All right?
Yeah.
So now I'm buying it at 30. And I'm putting 15 into it. I'm at 45, and we think this thing sells at 85. That leaves 40 grand. Now, it's not like I'm going to walk away with 40, right? This is where you have to know me and my buyer profile. Am I using hard money, private money?
Yeah.
Do I buy with my own cash? Am I doing the work? How long am I going to hold this thing? You've got to know that stuff, but you've got 40 grand to work with, okay? And then remember, do I list with an agent? Do I sell these things for sale by owner? Right? Because if I use an agent, 6% has to come off the top off of that sale, right?
Right.
I mean, you can chew up that 40 grand easily. But my guess is that there's probably 15 to 25,000 on this thing as a flip. And for this little amount of money, that probably works. Right?
Right.
So you may have a dual story on this one. Now let's check it out as a rental. You said about 850. 850
yep.
times 0.7, 595, times 12 is 7140. So net annual income, $7,140. And so if I buy it for 30 and I put 15 into it, I'm at 45. Let's call it $47,000. 2,000 is high for closing costs, but we'll round up. Divided by, so 7140 divided by 47,000, 15.2. Strong little deal. I think from what you're telling me, assuming that you have retail activity in the area, this may be one where you can tell a dual story.
Yep.
And say, here's
what
it looks
like
as a rental.
There is some retail activity in the area. I already checked, so that's why I said I could definitely sell it as both.
And here's the thing. If this is a rental, your fix-up probably isn't 15 grand. It's probably cheaper than that because it sounds like the house is in decent shape. So that now that 15 cap goes up. If it's a flip, maybe it is 20. And so you just have to have the right buyer. And it sounds like you're even being a little conservative on the 85,000 ARV. So here's the thing. Again, I'm okay with being conservative, but if you think the property can sell for 100, don't call it 85. And if you have data that supports 100,000, don't say it's 85.
And I'm gonna see if I can get my buddy to run some MLS comps for me and see what he gets also tonight.
Yep. That's perfect. That's a great I like that little deal.
Yeah, I have a problem getting rid of this one.
Yeah, it seems like you can make 10 on it, and if not, you can always backpedal to 5. If somebody comes in and says, "Hey, you're a little high, you've got a little room in there to make a deal and still cash a nice check." So,
absolutely.
What's the contract closing date?
I'm gonna put it out. I'm gonna give myself about 30 days.
Okay, and
I'm sending it out. So yeah, I'll give myself 30 days.
Yep. Shoot me an email when that thing's back. You think you'll have it tonight or tomorrow? Probably tomorrow.
I'm gonna try to get it back. I'm gonna try to get it back tonight, but I just got off the phone with him. He's just getting off of work, so I might have it back in the morning. He said because I had gave him a hard copy of the contract, but he was saying he wanted to kind of get it looked over, but I built some good rapport with him. So he said after he thought about it, he's like he trusts me. He doesn't see anything in it, so he said he's gonna go ahead and sign it. So I'm gonna actually send him over. I told him I'm going to send him over an electronic document, an e-sign document, just so he can sign it. I can get it right back.
Yep, that's perfect. And the way you phrase that, here's the reality of it. You want that signature back as quick as possible.
Exactly,
and we don't talk in terms of what we want. We talk in terms of what our buyers want. And you say, hey, I'll tell you what, let me do this. Just so I don't inconvenience you in any way, shape, or form, I'm just going to send you over a little electronic signature. That way you can pull that thing up on your phone, sign it with your fingertip. It's all electronic. You don't have to print anything. You don't have to scan anything. I want to make this as easy as possible for you, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, right?
That's actually what I told him. He said he's fine with that,
Beautiful.
Yep, he says he's fine with it, so.
Hey, well, let me ask you
get that back tonight.
Will your same buyers that you just sold to, will they take another one?
I don't think so because they like to be on they like to do the lower end stuff where they can kind of get in and do their work on it. But I'm gonna ask them. I'm gonna definitely run it by them.
Absolutely.
I'm not going. Yeah, I'm definitely running
by
them.
This $12,000 to $20,000 rehab. That's right up their alley. It's what they just bought.
Right. Yeah, I'm definitely running by them.
If they're going to do the work, they can turn that 15 into, 8 to 10 again.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the biggest thing that needs to be done on it is the roof definitely has to go, and it needs, the hardwood finish, and it needs, a furnace and, the AC hooked back up. But besides that, it's just flooring, paint. The cabinets in the kitchen are great. They already actually did, the backsplash. And the cabinets
This thing's 10 to 12.
That's what I'm kind of getting.
I mean, even if half your budget is roof, to go in and refinish some hardwoods and do some paint and some carpet, and hook up some utilities.
Yeah, and then the bathroom, the floors are pretty much done. The floors are done. They got some black backsplashes done. Tub surround is brand new. Toilet is brand new. You might have to switch out the vanity, but and put in some light fixtures throughout the place.
Yeah, that's easy. That's easy stuff.
Yeah,
that's easy stuff. Yeah, you're 30 numbers off. You got to get a more accurate number in there because the story on this thing is going to be better. In reality, it's a better story than if you sell it at 30. That's not 30.
Right. Yeah, it's probably more like 15 to 20.
Yeah, I think it's 12 to 15.
Yeah.
Be my guess. So, cool, man.
Yeah.
Stuff. What else? Any other questions?
No other questions. I'm just I'm interviewing another phone salesperson tomorrow evening. So hopefully she'll be good. I had her take the disc test. She tested well.
Nice.
Other than that, I'm just trying to get some bird dogs going in my consistently in my remote market. So I'll just keep working on that. But other than that, I'm feeling good about everything. Feeling good about everything. So
good stuff. Good stuff. Cool. Who else? No other questions. All right. Great updates. I know we had some other people just listening in too, which is fine. You know, a lot of good stuff happening, as always, from everybody that's checking in. So, yeah, I love it. Love talking about deals that are getting to the table. Obviously, that's the goal. You know, we had a couple here that closed and a few more that are coming. And, you know, if you're not there yet, you got to keep chiming into these so that you hear, hey, you know, this is happening. Because this business can be frustrating. It can be really fun, and it can be really frustrating. So if you're on top of the world and you just cashed a check, you know, be sure to call in because it's important that, you know, that we, the group, me included, get to hear what's going on. And if you're frustrated, you also got to call in so you can listen to what's going on. You know, that's why we do these things in a group setting because it's important, you know, both sides. Sometimes we need to pick somebody else up. Other days we need to be picked up, so. Even if you chime in and you don't chat, that's fine. You know, make sure you're on these calls so that you're getting, you know, hearing what's going on, getting the updates, that kind of thing. So iron sharpens iron. That's why we all chime in here and get better. Yeah, everybody, good stuff. You know, like I said, love it when the deals are closing. You know, that's what this is all about. We've got a couple more that are teed up for a few of you. So that's awesome. Let's. Any questions, obviously, get them into the coaching center. If there's anything else, and if you have, I'm telling you, if you have any questions on any of this math we're going over or how we're looking at deals, any of that, we've got to get this stuff tackled. I don't want you going another day with any sort of confusion on that. You got to be able to pull these numbers off quick and then, you know, start telling the story like we're talking about. That's how you sell deals. And this isn't real estate. This is sales. Sales 101, right? Tell stories. Just become professional storytellers, you and your acquisitions team, or eventually dispositions, but that's all we do. Tell stories and then let the facts back up the story. So good stuff, everybody. Appreciate you chiming in. Like I said, any questions, get them into that coaching center. Let's have a really productive couple days, and we'll chat again on Thursday. Sound good?
Sounds like a plan. Thank you very
much. All right, everyone. We'll talk soon. Have a good afternoon, evening, or morning. When you're on, I throw that one in there. So take care, everybody.
All right.
Talk soon. All right.
All right, Mike.
Take care. Bye.